Father, we say thank you for an open heaven, that as we minister your word now, Lord, that it will be freely ministered, and that we will receive it freely. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. So last week, when we spoke about the previous week, we spoke on being baptized in the Spirit. Amen. Can you remember? And how to be refilled with the Spirit. And then we saw a very interesting portion of Scripture where we see that when the dunamis power, when the power of God comes upon somebody, what happens is that person starts speaking in a different language or in a different tongue. So the... Okay. All right. Cheslin's getting there. Cheslin is definitely the brother of Cole. Any case. So, I think the Greek word for tongue is gena. We'll have a look now. And what it means in the Greek, it means different tongues and it means different languages. That's basically what it means. So what do we see is, we see in Scripture that as soon as the Spirit of God came upon the people, or upon the disciples, we see that happened on the day of Pentecost. All right, is it there now? Go to the next one. All right, we're going to read that just now. Okay, and what we see is, we see that in the first act where this glossa, the tongue or language, came upon people, we see that happened in the day of Pentecost. And you can go and read the account in Acts, which was quite a great encounter. Secondly, we see then the Holy Spirit came upon the house of Cornelius. And what we see is they were also filled by the Spirit, and they also started speaking in a different tongue or in a different language. Then we see, in point three, we see the disciples, the new disciples from Ephesus. They were filled with the Holy Spirit, and they started speaking in a different tongue or a different language. And what we also see is, we see this in the early church as well. Now, if we say the early church, we're not talking about the church of the disciples and the apostles. What I'm saying is the developing church. So that is the church up until where we are today. And what do we see? We see that people used it individually, and then we also see people using it in a community or in a forum like this, where people will pray in a tongue or people will sing in tongues, but also where the certain people will go then into a prayer or where the people go and pray unto God. And we see that they start praying in this funny language, which is unknown to our ear. Why? Because we don't understand it. And there's just no interpretation of it. All right. So when the Spirit of God comes upon you, you will speak with a new tongue. It happens to everybody. Why? Because 2 weeks ago we saw that it was a gift. That is what it is. It's a gifting of what God gives you. And we will see why. I love praying in tongues. There's just a different dynamic that it brings to the believer. Does it have place for us? Is the question. As we stand here as a congregation, yes, there is. But God warns us through Paul that we need to be careful when we speak in tongues, especially in a forum like this, because there's certain, if you want to call it protocol, there's certain things that we need to be careful of, because there needs to be interpretations. But we'll have a look at that just now. And the value of what this tongue gives to you is, in Acts, is it's phenomenal, the power that it carries for you and for me. But what I want to get back to is that it's been given to each and every one of you. If you've been baptized in the Spirit, all that you need to do is you need to step out in faith and just start speaking. You see, what we do as believers, we normally, as I'm speaking to you, you want your ears to understand, or you want your mind to understand, because you want the interpretation of it. But with tongues, when you speak in your quietness, that never happens. Well, I don't want to say it never happens, because I've prayed in my quiet time, and I said to the Lord, Lord, I would love to know what I'm saying. And then I see all these little pictures coming up. And then suddenly I know, okay, this is what I'm praying for in the Spirit. Or when I'm singing in the Spirit, it's also great, because then right after that, I start singing in a known language the things that I've just sang in the Spirit. And I don't know if you, who's ever experienced that? Who's experienced that? Put up your hands, people. This is a safe place. Yeah, of course, it's lekker. Great. All right, so what do we want to do is go one back, Jason, one back. There we go. What we want to do is I want to go and read from 1 Corinthians 14. And it's quite a long portion of Scripture what we're going to read. But what we need to do is we really need to come to the understanding of what a tongue is. All right, so firstly, it's a gift of God. That's the very first thing. Then the second thing that we need to look at is, where do we use it? Can we use it individually? Yes, and where can we use it? Can we use it publicly? Publicly in a forum like this in church. All right. Then we need to look at, what is the function of a tongue? Why did God give it? And how do we administrate it in church? All right. Are you all wakey? Are you all awake? All right. So let's start. One Corinthians 14 verse 1 says, "Pursue love and desire spiritual gifts, but especially that you may prophesy. For he who speaks in a tongue does not speak to men but to God, for no one understands him. However, in the Spirit he speaks mysteries. But he who prophesies speaks edification and exhortation and comfort to men. He who speaks in a tongue edifies himself, but he who prophesies edifies the church. I wish you all spoke with tongues, but even more that you prophesied, for he who prophesies is greater than he who speaks with tongues, unless indeed he interprets, that the church may receive edification." Verse 6. "But now, brethren, if I come to you speaking with tongues, what shall I profit you unless I speak to you either by revelation, by knowledge, by prophesying, or by teaching? Even things without life, whether flute or harp, when they make a sound, unless they make distinction in the sounds, how will it be known what is piped or played? For if the trumpet makes an uncertain sound, who will prepare for battle? So likewise you, unless you utter by the tongue words easy to understand, how will it be known what is spoken? For you will be speaking into the air. There are, it may be, so many kinds of languages in the world, and none of them is without significance. Therefore, if I do not know the meaning of the language, I shall be a foreigner to him who speaks, and he who speaks will be a foreigner to me. Even so, since you are zealous for spiritual gifts, let it be for the edification of the church that you seek to excel. Therefore, let him who speaks in a tongue pray that he may interpret. For if I pray in a tongue, my spirit prays, but my understanding is unfruitful. What is the conclusion then? I will pray with a spirit, and I will also pray with the understanding. I will sing with the Spirit, and I will also sing with the understanding. Otherwise, if you bless with the Spirit, how will he who occupies the place of the uninformed say Amen? And at your giving of thanks, since he does not understand what you say. For you indeed give thanks well, but the other is not edified. I thank my God I speak with tongues more than you all. Yet in church I would rather speak five words with my understanding, that I may teach others also, than 10,000 words in a tongue." Let's just stop there for now, and then we'll go on with verse 20. What do we see? What is Paul saying to them? We need to understand something about the Corinthian church. The Corinthian church is what Yapi spoke of. The Corinthian church was a church that was filled with believers that had so many spiritual gifts. But what happened was, their problem was they administrated it wrongly. So when they would come together, what would you hear? All that you would hear is this, bara baba shandara da kututuru baba baba sindere de 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 dara baba baba shindero baba baba kuru baba 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 baba, and that's what you heard. So every time when you had to walk into this church, or into the churches of Corinth, no one understood anything. It was like you had to go to a church where they give a sermon in Latin. I know a lot of such churches, and Jacinta came out of one of them. And where they then keep the people at a certain, you know, in a certain level. And the priest says all these things, and then suddenly he goes, chile, chale, chile, and then the guy stands up. All right, great. And then another thing goes, and then they sit down. And then another thing, and then they stand up. And this is all that they do. But there's absolutely no spiritual fulfillment. There's absolutely nothing that they're getting of it. It's dead. So this is what Paul says. He says, listen, guys, you know what? I understand that you desire spiritual gifts. How many times have we said within church that God has placed within you a gifting and that you need to stir it up? How many times have we heard it? Plenty. Plenty times. Then we also understand now through Scripture that as the Spirit came upon you, that you will receive this tongue. And if you haven't received it yet, if you haven't been baptized in the Spirit, then you need to get baptized in the Spirit. But what was the prerequisite for you to be baptized in the Spirit? It's for you to be reborn. It is for you to receive Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. Then we had a look at what happens first, baptism by water or baptism in the Holy Ghost. It's either or all, which we proved out of Scripture. Amen? Amen? All right. So now we get into this place where we all sit. And I see there's a couple of visitors here. And these visitors come in. And we start worshiping. Like we had a deep worship session here, like a soaking session. And all that these people here, the new visitors here, they go, and this is what we do. And they just hear us speaking in this foreign language. And they're going to think, oh my good golly, where am I now? Am I in the right place? Do these people speak Afrikaans? Do they speak English? These people, are they mad? What is happening here? What did I do? Did I take the wrong turn? And this is one thing that Paul says. He says, people, please. He says, you know what? I want you to desire these spiritual gifts. And yes, stir them up within you. But when you get together as a church, I long you to prophesy. I want you to prophesy. Now, a lot of people will think, okay, well, I'm going to prophesy. So you get the person, Mary, just quickly stand up. And what you do is you look very deeply into Mary's eyes. And you like, wait for this word. And you like, okay, Mary, thus saith the Lord. And that's not prophesying. You get two sorts of prophesying or prophecies. The one is where you look into Mary and God gives you a word for her for something of the future. But then there's a certain area of prophesying where you come and what do? Is you speak words of affirmation. You speak words of edification. You speak words of exhortation. That's what you do. That is prophesying. Thank you, Mary. So if we look in the context of what Paul is speaking to the church, where he walks in and or the letters that he's been hearing about how they've been praying in the Spirit. He says, man, it's great. But, stop. Stop. So he says, I want you to prophesy. Why? Because it speaks of words of edification, exhortation, and words of comfort. For what reason? Paul wanted the church to be edified and not the individuals. Friends, we need to understand is when we get together here, it's not about you. It's not about me. How many of us have that mindset? I promise you, a couple of years back, I had that mindset that when I come into church, it's all about me. Jesus, you need to bless me. Lord, don't touch her. Here I am. Lord, I've been living such an holy life the last week. I've been praying and I've been fasting and I've done all these great things. Here I am. Oh, Jesus, bless me. Oh, yes, Lord, here I am. And I think that by raising my voice and by doing all sorts of these things, is that God will come and bless me. But you know what? It's not. It's about the person next to you. It's about the person in front of you. And what Paul is saying is, he says, you know what? God has deposited so many gifts within you. He says, when you come to church, and this is what we'll see a little bit later on. He says, I've given each and every one of you a gifting. You need to bring a psalm and a hymn, and you need to bring a word of edification, and you need to bring a word of exhortation, so that when you stand in my presence, that you can edify each other in the Spirit. That's what it's about. How many people here this morning have got burdens? Who's got burdens? Of course. Have a look. Please, keep your hands up. I've got a burden. We've all got burdens. But then we come to the church. And we stand and we look at this wonderful words that we're singing. And we're saying, oh, you're good, God. You're wonderful. You're amazing. You set me free. Oh, there's joy in the morning. And I can dance. But God, I'm burdened. And you walk out here the same way as you walked in. That's not the God that I serve. There's nothing wrong with those words, because those words are true. It's truth. But where does the problem lie? The problem lies with you and with me. Because we are the I generation. I love that somebody said that we are the Holy I Trinity. The me, myself, and I. Think about it. How many of us prepare ourselves when we come to church? How many of us go and say, Lord, and we just pray and we say, God, use me on this day. God, may this gifting within me be so stirred up, so that when I walk in, that when I walk past Mary, God, and you've given me a knowledge or just a word of wisdom for her, or just a word of encouragement, because as I walk past her, my spirit jolts and it goes, what's wrong with Mary? Wow, okay. Mary, are you okay? And Mary starts crying. She doesn't normally. And she says, you know what? It's tough at work. It's tough. Or you walk past somebody and somebody just comes past and you say, hello, Corinne, how are you? Corinne looks, oh, great. And God just gives you something about her. And you say, wow, the Lord's just shown me that. Look, I can be wrong, so please excuse me. The Lord has just shown me that Dale is in Joburg and you are extremely alone. It works. I'm lying. I know he's in Joburg. But what I'm saying is, this is how we need to operate. I want to ask you this. How many of you, by the show of hand, how many of you, God did something amazingly great within you this week? How many? Come on, put up your hand. You've got a psalm and you've got a hymn to come and share. You need to come and prophesy of God's goodness. Can I tell you why? Because there are people here who think He's dead. There are people here that think that God doesn't hear their prayers. And yet you're sitting with something that can give life. And here are people just walk out. And then next week, Sunday, they come back and it's all the same thing. There's a routine here. And I'm telling you, we need to break it. We need to get excited about what God is doing in our lives. I'm telling you, it's not the big things that change people. It's the small things in life that change people. How do you build a wall? With one big block? Or 360 small little bricks? How do you build a wall? Okay, I hope you know. Because it's quiet here. How do we?
Brick by brick.
Brick by brick. Thank you, Gunther. You know how to build. Ek gedink oom Henny gaan vir my sê, maar hy kyk, ek dink hy is nie saam met ons nie. If I say, how do you build a steel structure? Then he'll jump up and down. But friends, this is... Peter, I say, peace by peace. Amen. So this is what I'm saying to you. Paul is saying to you, friends, when we get together, we need to prophesy. We need to speak over each other. We need to speak God's goodness. That's what we need to do. That is a living church. That is a church that's alive. When you walk in here, you don't first zone in on Helmut and, okay, there's everybody else here. No, okay. Hey, how's it, my Helmut? How are you? Great. Yeah, man, I'm in your home church, you know, so it's great. That's not what you do because you know, you feel familiar with Helmut. What do? You walk in, you go, wow, God, who do you want to bless? Who do you want to bless today, Lord? Great stuff. No, okay, great. Oh, yeah. Listen, I just feel the Lord loves you. Balls. Why? Because she feels that God says, or she feels that God is absent within her life. But all that you do is you just come and touch her. You say, God loves you. Oh, that's amazing because this is how God works. Do we understand this? Good. So let's have a look. So pursue love and desire spiritual gifts, but especially from verse 1 again. But especially that you may prophesy. For he who speaks in a tongue does not speak to men but to God. Do you hear that? So when you hear us speaking, it's not there for you or for me to understand that. What is it? It is there for us to speak directly to God. Who does that edify? Exactly. It edifies you. No one else. It edifies you. For he who speaks in a tongue does not speak to men, but unto God. I love this. You know what it is? It's like a little red telephone. Have you seen these movies where the president has got like this red phone? And then chaos happens like three quarters around the world. There's like a nuclear attack or something. And all that this guy does, who's in the doo-doo, he just picks up the telephone and goes, President, we're under nuclear attack. And he doesn't need to follow protocol or he doesn't need to go through people. He's got a red line telephone directly to who? To the president. And this is exactly what tongues do. Have you noticed that sometimes when you start praying, you go, Lord, you're great and you're wonderful and Father, you are everything to me. You are splendorous. And then you've used all your vocab up. Suddenly you come to the understanding that your English vocabulary is only 1,000 words. And then you go into an Afrikaans vocab and then it's like 2,000, but then you're stuck. Because then the word says to us that we cannot repeat what we've said. Have you read that? Don't do it repetitiveness. Don't use words repeatedly over and over and over again. Then suddenly you've got a different language deep within you that God has given you, and then you begin, and then you begin, and you go, Barababa Shondo, and then you can pray. Then your vocab is not 1,000 or 2,000 words, but then you can pray for hours on end, nonstop. It's something that you and me, that we need to train. We need to preach. We need to pray more in the Spirit when we are at home, in our quiet place. For he who speaks in a tongue does not speak to men but to God. For no one understands him. No one understands what I'm speaking. However, in the Spirit, he speaks mysteries. In the Spirit, when I speak in this unknown tongue, I speak mysteries. But he who prophesies, prophesy. Thank you. For he who prophesies, edifies, exhorts, and comforts. Okay? But he who prophesies speaks edification and exhortation and comfort to men. You see, God's heart is to keep everything mutually inclusive. That's God's heart. I do not like the songs that we sing that goes, especially in church, where we go, I love you, Lord. or where the I is used too much. I love it when we sing we and us. I love it. Why? Because we're talking about who we are as the body of Jesus, collectively inclusive. That automatically just puts your mindset where? On the person next to me, in front of me, and behind me. Amen? Can you remember a couple of weeks back, I preached on a sermon, or there was a sermon that I preached on, that we live, sure, that we live segregated lives. It's like pigeonhole lives. Can you? And this is exactly how we are also in church. We need to become mutually inclusive. All right. Verse 4 says, he who speaks in a tongue edifies himself, but he who prophesies edifies the church. Beautiful. Beautiful. I wish you all spoke with tongues. You see, this is where Paul comes and he says, I wish you all speak. So it's not, we shouldn't be, or we should not be speaking in tongues. We all should be speaking in tongues. I wish you all spoke with tongues, but even more that you prophesied. For he who prophesies is greater than he who speaks with the tongues, unless indeed he interprets that the church may receive edification. So what do we see here? Paul says to you, go for it. If you've got that gift, pray in it, speak in it. I want you to edify. You see, Paul's whole ministry was to edify the church. That was his ministry, was to edify the church. But what we see here is that there is an understanding here of tongues when we start speaking in church or in this type of forum, that when one person speaks out aloud, that there needs to be an interpretation of that tongue. Why? Why? I've just read it. So that it will edify the church. Because what does it profit the church if we all speak in an unknown language? This morning, as I bring my word to you, or as I bring the Lord's word, this is what I'm asking you. Are you understanding what I'm saying? Are you? Great, she's smiling and she's giving me a nod. Fabulous, so she does. Do you understand, Rocco? Does that edify you? Does it lift up your spirit, getting the understanding of what God wants of us? Does it edify you, Helmut? This is what it's about, so that we can walk out of this place, and so that the week to come until next week, that the word that we've received can lift us up and comfort us and exhort us and do what it needs to do. Amen. Have you ever heard the scripture being preached or read that you go, oh, no thank you, I don't want that. No. It doesn't sound good. The only time when I've heard that is when people start preaching the law. And they say to you, you must wear this, and you must eat this, and you can't do this, and you can't do that. Then we go, ah. Like almost like this morning with prayer. It was almost like, ah. But it's not. I promise you, that's truth. That I give you my word on. That's truth. All right. So from verse 6. So here, Paul then brings it from verse 6 to about 18, 19. Paul is going to tell us why we need to prophesy. All right, this is what he's going to say. So he says, but now, brethren, if I come to you speaking with tongues, what shall I profit you unless I speak to you either by revelation, by knowledge, by prophesying, or by teaching? I'm sure we all understand that. Verse 7. Even things without life, whether flute or harp, when they make a sound, unless they make a distinction in the sound, how will it be known by a pipe or played? What does he say there? If I had to pick up this guitar, and if I had to start strumming it, no, now you're going to hear. This is raw talent. Is it on? All right, let's just quickly. If I do this, Did you understand what we're doing? Did you understand the lyric? Did you understand what song I was playing? Hello? Are you wakey wakey? All right. But I promise you, if Emma had to come and pick up the guitar and she had to start strumming 10,000 reasons, would you understand it? Exactly. And this is what Paul is saying. As soon as you start picking up an instrument, you're just jamming on it. What does it benefit you? What does it benefit me? Because we don't understand it. For if the trumpet makes an uncertain sound, who will prepare for battle? I love this. Because the Jews, normally when they went into battle, they had to blow a ram's horn or the shofar. So, and there were certain tones. And I'm going to lie to you, I totally forgot. But I think there was three. Three. Then they know. Get ready for battle. And they'd say, means attack. And then, longer, two, will mean victory. And now you must understand, if this guy goes and stands on that little ram's horn when he wants to go into battle, and he goes, and these guys, these Israelites are going to go, what the heck? What do you want us to do? Dance? What? And it's like, this is what he's saying. He says, for if the trumpet makes an uncertain sound, who will prepare for battle? Verse 9. So likewise you. Now listen. This is an instruction. So likewise you. Unless you utter by the tongue words easy to understand, how will it be known what it is spoken? For you will be speaking into the air. How many of us charismatics? And charismata means what? Giftings, doesn't it? What does it mean when we, as the charismata of God, comes and we've got all these gifts that we've stirred up? Have you heard us when we go and we say, let us pray? What's the very first thing that happens? And I'm not saying it's wrong. What I'm trying to do is, we need to bring back perspective of how do we pray and what do we say when we are in the company of a congregation. And especially when it comes down to honoring God. Why? Because we've all got psalms and hymns. There's somebody that will come and bring a word of exhortation to the church, and there's someone that will bring a psalm just saying, wow, friends, just listen to this Psalm 3 I read this morning. And you know, throughout the whole week, I've been battling with this and with this and with this. But God just brought this certain psalm to my I'm looking for Psalm 3, but thank you for my attention. Okay, great. Listen to Psalm 3. This helped me. In times when I came out of drugs and pornography and all these things, this helped me when we were going through a transition stage where God was calling us from the secular world into full-time ministry, where we had to leave lots and lots and lots of money, and we had to get rid of all our investment properties, and when we had to get rid of a lot of stuff. Why? Because we can't serve mammon and God. Trust me, that was rough and that was tough. Because you are used to a certain lifestyle and now suddenly I need to budget. Suddenly it's hard, it's rough, it's tough. And God gives me this. He says, now I guarantee you that if there are people here this morning that will hear this, I guarantee you, your spirits will jump up and down. Because there was no other man more persecuted in the Bible except for Job and the disciple, well, everybody, than David. Listen to this. A psalm of David. The Lord helps his troubled ones. Lord, how they have increased who troubled me. Many are they who rise up against me. Many are they who say of me, there is no help for him in God. How many have heard that? And how do you feel, especially when you are in a pit, the devil comes and whispers in your ear, Yaku, God ain't hearing you, bud. He doesn't love you. What are you going to do about that? How many of us have that? It's happened to me. It happens. Verse 3, but you, O Lord, are a shield for me. Man, in the darkest pit that David can get him, where there are thousands of men around him wanting to kill him, what does he do? This is what he shouts out to God. But you, O Lord, are a shield for me, my glory and the one who lifts up my head. I cry to the Lord with my voice, and he heard me from his holy hill. Then guess what he does? Knowing that there are thousands of men wanting to kill him and destroy him and wants to chop off his head, this is what he says. He declares, he prophesies of who God is. And then this is what David does in all of this chamosh that's happening. I lay down and slept. I awoke, for the Lord sustained me. I will not be afraid of 10,000 of people who have set themselves against me all around. Wow. Arise, O Lord, save me, O my God, for you have struck all my enemies on the cheekbone. You have broken the teeth of the ungodly. Salvation belongs to the Lord. Your blessings is upon your people. Amen. Wow. Now, if you had to go through those things, and you just come and share that portion of scripture with, just say, this is what God gave me. Do you understand that so many of us here this morning have got so many burdens that portion of scripture will tell you something, that God is your deliverer and God will bring salvation into your home, just like he did with David, so he will do with you too. Why? Because he is the same yesterday, today, and forevermore. Amen. That just happens. Boom. You see, I just shared something with you. You all go, amen. It's a known language. You all say, and let it be so. Amen? Amen. Amen. There we go. Where was I? I know, 1 Corinthians. In the air. Verse 10. There are, it may be, so many kinds of languages in this world, and none of them is without significance. Therefore, if you do not know the meaning of the language, I shall be a foreigner to him who speaks. And he who speaks will be a foreigner to me. Who's gone to an overseas country? Yopi and myself, we're going to Greece in November. No, you can put up your hands. There we go. You've all been to foreign countries. I love this. You all are Tynosaurus Rexes this morning. Please put your hand up. That's fine. Thank you, Rolf. It's not crazy. In any case, the Lord is good. So who's been to a foreign country? Thank you. Hallelujah. When you went into this foreign country, especially with the Finnish people, I know Rocco, and to the Japanese people, do you understand what these guys are saying? You don't understand that. So when he speaks to you, you're like, yeah, okay. And this is exactly what Paul is trying to tell us here. All right, so therefore, if I do not know the meaning of the language, I shall be a foreigner to him who speaks, and he who speaks will be a foreigner to me. Even so, you, since you are zealous for spiritual gifts. Who's zealous for spiritual gifts? Oh, my word. All right, those who are zealous, please come to the front, and those who are not zealous, please move to the back. Who's zealous for spiritual gifts? We are all zealous for spiritual gifts. Even so, you, since you are zealous for spiritual gifts, let it be for the edification of the church that you seek to excel. Who wants this church to excel? Those guys whose hands are down, please come to the corner, yeah? But friends, this is for what it is. We shouldn't be living for ourselves. We should be living for each other. We should see each other. Our heart's desires and burdens should be towards each other. We need to come and comfort one another in the grace and in the mercy and the peace of Jesus. We need to give each other words of edification and exhortation in the name of Jesus. Why? Because when Christ becomes reality to you and to me, guess what happens to the church? It grows. Because Christ becomes reality. It's not an area in my life where if I go on my knees, he's like, please, man, Lord, you really need to do this. And you become a person that, like, all that you want to do is you just want to plead before him. And yes, there's places for pleading, but you know what? When you know who he is, your pleading will be very short. Why? Because, God, you've come through me once, twice, three times. Wow, I'm just laying this before you in your time. Thank you, Lord. Amen. I didn't hear David in Psalm 3 goes, you know, there's 10,000 guys out here in this cave. They're rough. They've got big swords, great big shields. Their breath stinks. They don't have any teeth. Their beards are, look at me. Please, please, please. He just tells God who he is. He prophesies it. And then he goes to sleep. Next morning he wakes up and he goes, yeah, this is the God that I serve. Amen? So speaking in a known language, to prophesy, is to seek to edify and to excel the church. Verse 13, therefore, let him who speaks in a tongue pray that he may interpret. For if I pray in a tongue, my spirit prays. Can you hear that? For if I pray in a tongue, my spirit prays. And I will also pray with the understanding. I will sing with the spirit, and I will also sing with understanding. It's the same question that I asked. How many of you, when you have sung in the spirit, there was just something that gave you that, hey, I understand what I'm singing. Or right after that, you just get that ushering to start singing in a known voice. And suddenly it's like, wow, I never thought of that. That can't be me. And it's just the spirit of God coming and giving you understanding. Verse 16 says, otherwise, if you bless with the Spirit, how will he who occupies the place of the uninformed say amen? How many times have we said amen here this morning? Do you know why you say amen? Why do you say amen? It's a? There, exactly. It's an agreement. What do you say? Yes, let it be so. Amen. Let it be so. God is good. Amen. Let it be so. That's basically what we're saying. So what Paul is saying is, if Helmut had to come and talk to me, and I'm like, okay, and he's like, what the heck? Okay. He can't come to me and say amen. Why? Because he doesn't understand it. He doesn't understand it. But if I had to come to Helmut and I say, Helmut, do you know that the Lord your God is so good? You know what, Helmut, through all your financial and through all the stresses that you are going through, God is going to come through for you. You know what? Because he has delivered me. Because he is faithful and he is true. Amen? Amen. Amen. He gets understanding to it. He says, and let it be so. All right. Thank you, Robert. Where am I now? All right. Otherwise, if you bless with the Spirit, how will he who occupies the place of the uninformed say amen? At your giving of thanks, since he does not understand what you are saying. Verse 17, for you indeed give thanks well, but the other is not edified. I thank my God I speak with tongues more than you all, yet in the church I would rather speak five words with my understanding, that I may teach others also than 10,000 words in a tongue. We'll just get there today. So what is this saying? What is Paul saying to you at that last, especially in that last portion? He's saying to you that there's nothing wrong with speaking in tongues. But for the greater body of Jesus Christ, let's rather prophesy. Let's rather prophesy in words and in psalms and in hymns and through testimonies to the things which people will hear and understand and where people could relate to. So that the body of Jesus Christ will excel, and not you and you alone. That's what it's saying. Do we understand this, church? So when we say prophesy, you've heard us, or you've heard me and Helmut and Dale, you've heard the band. When we say, friends, let's stand up and let's prophesy these words unto God. What does it mean? It says, great, for if we have, what's that? Glorify your name. Glorify your name. That, I love that word. And what's the other one that I also love? Okay, I love all of them, but any case. But that one that we sang last week, the last song was glorify, glorify your name. You know, that is prophesying. Why? Because when we look at those words and we sing it, glorify your name. When we sing that, does it all resonate within you? Does it? And it's the collective, the body collectively understands and receives what? We're bringing worship and honor and praise to God. But if we had to all sing, yeah, and it's not wrong, and I'm going to get to that next week. If we all had to sing, yeah, garabas, who does it edify? It edifies yourself. And the greater body of Christ is not being edified. What is the purpose of coming to church on a Sunday? And this is my conclusion. What is the purpose of you and me coming to church on a Sunday? Who wants to try? Edify one another. Good and faithful scholar. Well said. Friends, this is the purpose. He's right. The purpose is this. You and me, we live life from a Monday to a Saturday. God has deposited gifts in each and every one of you. You all should have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ by reading your word and praying. So therefore, you all should be on mission with Christ. So therefore, within your workplace, you should be walking around and saying, okay, God, who do you want to bless? Okay, is this great? Oh, Karine, I just feel that the Lord is saying, Karine, I can see in the last couple of weeks, man, you're not yourself. Can I pray for you? And what we do is we are in a mission field in the working place where we find ourselves. And all that we're doing is we're just making ourselves so available to God and to the Spirit of God to speak into people's lives and to pray and to bring salvation to their homes. And that's your mission. But now, on a Sunday, you all bring what you've done within the week, not just only on your mission field, but also what God has done in your personal life. And not only just in your personal life, but also in your quiet times where God has answered prayer and where God has answered you in by reading the word. And what you want to do is you get so excited, and I love what Cherie always does, is she comes to me when I see her there, she runs to me. When JJ, weet oom wat Jesus vandag met my gedoen het. Weet oom wat Jesus gister met my gedoen het. And she tells me a whole week. And I'm like, yeah. Yes, Lord. You're in this child's life. You're making yourself known to her. And you know how it edifies me to know that God is at work. And that's why we bring testimonies. And that is your duty. Is to be like Aunt Cherie. When you come to church, to run to us. Not to me, but to the elders and to the leadership and say, this is what God has done. Can I please share it with you this morning? Why do I want to prophesy in this way? Because I don't want to do it for myself. I don't want to look great. It's because I know how God brought breakthrough and how God lifted this burden off my shoulders. I want to bring it, and I want to share, and I want to prophesy to the people, because I know there are people within this congregation today sitting with exactly the same things. But I just want to tell them that God is faithful and God is true, and He is mighty to deliver, and He is who He says He is. And that is why we come to church. Is to see the church excel. Not the church building. The church, the people, the living stones around you. Amen. I don't know if I'm preaching. No, definitely not next week. But the next time when we preach, we're going to go on with this. And we'll start seeing what do we do in forums like this. And how do we go about if people do pray a bit louder and they go, Barababa Shondo. And how do we do the necessary things from there? Was this informative, guys? Was this informative? Did you understand it? Because this is, to me, this is important, is that we understand these things. All right. So it's good to speak in a tongue. Good to speak in a tongue. But when we hear, let's rather prophesy. When you do speak, when you do pray, you can pray in a tongue. It's just to bring understanding that when we speak loud, we want to edify. We want to bring words of comfort, words of exhortation, and words of encouragement. All right. Amen. Amen. Let's pray. Father, we want to say thank you for your word. And Father, we want to say thank you for the love that you have for your church. Father, that you want your church to live life in its fullness. That you want your church to live life abundantly. That you want to have your church to live, if I can say, carefree, Lord. But Lord, how you want your church to know that you are alive and that you love them and that you are powerful and that you are faithful and that you are who you say you are. You are I am. And Father, we want to say thank you that you've given us gifts that we can stir up. We want to say thank you, Father, that you have baptized us in your Spirit and that you've given us the gifting of tongues and of different languages. And we want to say thank you, Lord, that you are bringing to our understanding of how to administrate it, what the true purpose of it is, what we can use it for. But Lord, that you are also bringing to our understanding, Lord, what we should do when we congregate together as a church, as a body of believers. So Father, my prayer this morning is as you have sowed the seed, may it bear fruit in our lives. May there be no confusion here this morning, because you are not the author of confusion. But Lord, may your word bring life and liberty and freedom to each and every one of us here. Father, I pray that as we sit here, that you will fill us all with boldness. Father, so that for the two weeks now, Lord, that we will go and minister, that we will be on mission with you, Jesus. And so that when we return back to church, that we will be able to come and prophesy, that we will be able to come and edify and exhort, that we will all bring psalms and hymns, that we will all be sharing about your goodness with one another of what our God has done. In Jesus' name, we love you.